There was a man named Bob Dylan, who was a rock singer in vogue when I was growing up. I really didn't listen that too much to him. But he was just a hard guy. And there came a time in his life when somehow he met Jesus. And he composed a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And his song, I won't begin to try to sing it for you. But his song went something like, you're either going to serve the devil or you're going to serve the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And he has a website. His website is You Gotta Serve Somebody. And you can check it out today. Today we're going to talk about two ways from the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. And it talks about two ways that are open to every person. And one way is the way of the righteous, and the other way is the way of the wicked. And so we want to talk this morning about the two ways that are before us. This psalm is a pivotal psalm. It introduced the whole song book. Remember, the book of Psalms was the Hebrew hymn book. And it introduced the whole book. And today we're going to look at this important psalm. The first half of the psalm talks about the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous. And it talks about, first of all, in verse 1, whom not to associate with. And it says, how blessed is the man. And I'm going to use the word happy because there's another word for blessed than what's used here, much more common. This verse is not used all that many times in the Old Testament. But instead of using the word blessed, I'm going to use the word happy because I think that's what it means. You'll be a happy person if, first of all, you do not take advice from wicked people. How blessed is the man, or how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked? If you have a King James Bible, it's going to say the ungodly. So if you take advice from wicked people, you're not going to be happy. If you don't take advice from wicked people, you will be happy. We need to ask the question, what are wicked people like? Because we might have different definitions. Clearly, wicked people are those who openly violate God's standards of right and wrong. Just for example, Abraham considered the people of Sodom to be wicked, and he considered his nephew Lot to be righteous. And if you were to read Genesis chapter 19, you get an idea of what wickedness is. We're not going to go through that, but I think you know enough about what went on in Sodom to know what wickedness is there. Wicked people rebel against the authority of God's leaders. Just for example, there are three men, actually four, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, and they rebelled against the God-given authority of Moses. They said, Are you the only one who has an opinion, Moses? How come? Who gave you the authority? Basically, what they're saying, who gave you the authority to wield, command us to do this and that and the other? Moses called them wicked men in Numbers chapter 16, verse 26. Not going to look at this, but just tell you about it. And eventually, the ground opened up and swallowed these men and their families, about 250, well, That was another deal. These families, men and their families and their possessions alive. So those are wicked people who defied God's authority that he had invested in Moses. In Psalm 7, verse 9, it says, the wicked commit evil. And the wicked are people who forget God in Psalm 9, verse 17. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked will return to Sheol, even all the nations who forget God. Those who forget God are called wicked people. In Psalm 10, verse 2, the wicked are proud people who hotly pursue those who are afflicted and poor. They're nasty people who set out to destroy and take advantage of people who were oppressed, probably by rich people, and those who were poor. The wicked person boasts about what he wants. He is greedy, and he curses and spurns the Lord. And he is called wicked. All these are the same word that's used here in Psalm 1:1. The wicked person in his arrogance does not seek God because he doesn't think there is any God. Why should he seek something that doesn't exist? So I'm here to tell you that you will be happy, a happy person, if you do not take advice from wicked people. Now, let me point out that there's a difference between talking to people about Jesus. You have to spend a certain amount of time with them to tell them about Jesus. This is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about getting your value system from these people. You're spending time with them because you like what they have to say, you like what their values are, and so you can take advice from them. You're not going to be a happy person if you do that. Secondly, you'll be a happy person if you do not spend time in the pathway of sinners. Clear back in Psalm 1:1, again it says, "How blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners." There's a progression there. First of all, he's walking down this road. Now he's standing and taking it in, and in just a moment he's going to sit down. Well, again, let's ask ourselves, what are sinners like? Once again, the men of Sodom were called sinners. In Genesis 13:13, it says, "The men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord." Now, let me point out that Abraham's nephew Lot made a deliberate choice. His choice was to, and it was an economic choice. Let me show you what the option, remind you what the option Abraham gave was. Both Abraham and his nephew Lot had a lot of flocks and herds of sheep and so forth, other livestock, and they were so numerous that there was not enough. If they stayed together, there was not enough pasture for their both flocks. So Abraham said to Lot, he says, "You pick which way you want to go." And it says that Lot looked over the plain, or he looked down into the valley of the Jordan River. Well, where you have a river, you've got the most fertile ground, there's the most water, going to be the best pasture ground, and he chose that. And just right after that, it says, "Now the men of Sodom were," what it says right here, "were exceedingly wicked and sinners against the Lord." So Lot made a deliberate choice not only to get into this area, but ultimately he made the choice to move into that city. I don't think that his effort was probably, I want to tell them about God. I don't think that was his motive. I think his motive was, what's the best economic decision for my livestock? How can I make the most money? And that drove him. And he began to live in a city that had utterly corrupt policies, and it didn't work out too well for Lot. So don't think that we're trying to say you shouldn't evangelize people, because obviously the scripture tells us we have to do that. But I'm talking about, where do you get your values from? Again, talking about those guys who rebelled against Moses, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, they were called men who have sinned at the cost of their lives. So they're wicked and they're sinners. Samuel called the Amalekites, whom God sent Saul on a mission to destroy, sinners. Here's an interesting one. A rival to the throne was considered to be a sinner. You might remember that at the very close of David's life, he was actually bedridden. And he was about to die of old age. And his son Adonijah said, "I'm going to get myself made king." And he grabbed a prophet, he grabbed some military guys, called all of his brothers except for one. Didn't call his brother Solomon, because he knew that his father had promised Solomon the throne, and Adonijah wanted the throne for himself. And so he had a big party. some miles away. And someone came and told Bathsheba, who was Solomon's mother, you better go see the king because you're in trouble. So Bathsheba went and talked to King David, and she said, my lord, did you not promise that my son Solomon would be the one to sit upon the throne? Why is it then that Adonijah has had himself anointed king? And she said, my son and I will be considered by him to be sinners. Now, the word is translated offenders, but it's the same word. So someone who's a rival to the throne is called a sinner. Let's make an application of that. God wants to rule our lives, and he would consider any rival to the throne in our lives a sinner. What are sinners like? Sinners will sometimes commit murder. Psalm 26:9. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed. Sometimes sinners commit murder. They're godless people. Sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling has seized the godless. So that gives you an idea, sort of fleshing out what a sinner is like. So you will, in review now, you'll be a happy person if you do not take advice from wicked people. You do not spend time in the pathway of sinners. You're not going to be absorbing their value system. And third, you do not make yourself comfortable sitting with scoffers, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Once again, we ask the question, well, what is a scoffer like? Psalm 119:51. Scoffers are people who deride others for trying to follow the Bible. In Psalm 119:51, it says, the arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. So there are those who will make fun of you for trying to follow the Bible and do what it says. And God calls them scoffers. A scoffer can be a young person, the age of some of you, who will not listen to his father's rebuke. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. You'll be a happy person if you don't sit in the path of scoffers or the seat of the scoffers. A scoffer is a fool who mocks sin. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Years ago, we lived in Omaha, Nebraska, and I can't remember why, but I had the occasion to visit a home near me, and I could hear from the window what was going on inside. What was going on inside was that there was a TV program on. It was a TV program. I couldn't see the screen, but I could hear what was going on, and the guy was telling filthy stories. And the people in this room were laughing. And there's a man in particular who was laughing uproariously at these dirty stories that this man was telling on this TV show. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. So what will you laugh at? That's a good question. What will you laugh at? What will I laugh at? And these guys mocked at dirty stories. They laughed and mocked at them. Now, those are the three things that we shouldn't give in to. Now, what should we be preoccupied with? We shouldn't be taking our value system from these other people. What should we be preoccupied with? You'll be a happy person if, number one, verse two, your delight is in the law of the Lord. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That would be the Bible. So if you delight, take great delight in the Bible, you're going to be a happy person. Your constant reflection, what should you be thinking about? You meditate or reflect on God's law day and night. Now this is talking about more than, you know, I'm going to have my quiet time every morning or I'm going to have my quiet time at night. I'm going to read my daily bread and open up the Bible and read that little passage and then I'm done for the day. No, this is far beyond that. This means that throughout the day your mind is filled with what does God's Word say about this? What does it say about that? How should I be acting in regard to this person or that person? Because here's what the Bible says. It means constantly you're going through the day, you're thinking about what God says and how it should apply to your life. Now, we all get preoccupied with other things, don't we? One of the things that I get preoccupied with is I like sports. And in football season, I like to listen to, the Chiefs play or watch on TV. Or if I'm driving somewhere, I like to listen to a ball game. Football, baseball, I'll even listen to a Kansas City Royals ball game if it's on the radio. I also like to listen to news, and I like to listen to talk news stations because that keeps me up to date, at least from their viewpoint of what's important, what's happening. And those are some things that's easy for me to get sidetracked with and not be thinking about God's Word. God's Word says that you'll be a happy person if your delight is in the law of the Lord and you reflect upon it day and night. What will success be like? Verse 3, your success, what will you be like? Well, if you don't do those things in verse 1, and if you do those things in verse 2, it says you'll be like a tree. Not just any tree, but you'll be a tree firmly planted by streams of water. You'll have an ideal, well-watered situation. Now, we're still in the middle of a drought. We've gotten some nice rains, but if you look at ponds, they're still pretty empty, mostly empty. We have a big shortfall on water around here. But a tree that is next to a river was going to stay fresh all the year round. I mean, of course, in the wintertime, it's going to go dormant. But all during the spring, during the summer, and during the fall, it's going to stay nice because it's got plenty of water there. If it lives in a temperate climate or a more where it doesn't freeze, it will stay nice all year round. We used to live in Australia, and there were trees there that were not deciduous. Well, there were trees there that, for example, where we lived in town, it never snowed the 4 years we lived there. So we had trees that stayed nice all year round with leaves. But this tree that if you occupy yourself with God's Word and don't take in the value system of the world around you, you'll be like a firmly planted, well-watered tree. And you will have timely fruitfulness. You'll bear fruit at the right time. God will have things for you to do, and you will break forth into something that's worthwhile and good, and God will prompt you, and you'll say, I need to step in and do this, and you will yield your fruit in its proper season. You will be a person of stability. Its leaf does not wither. And you will have productivity, and whatever you do, you will prosper. So that's what's going to happen if you are following the way of the righteous. Now, there are three brief verses talking about the way of the wicked. Let's look at them. First of all, verse 4 speaks about the unproductiveness of the wicked. The wicked are not so. They'll not be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. They're not going to be like that. But they are like chaff. Now, chaff, we live farming country. We know what chaff is. When you run in your combine through the field, chaff is what comes out the back end. It's worthless. It's dry. It's just cellulose. There's no food value in it. And that's the way someone is who is following the way of the wicked. They're like chaff, and they're unstable. Because the wind drives them away. They're blown about by the winds and the troubles in their lives, and they're just very unstable people. So not only are they unproductive, but secondly, verse 5, they are unworthy. They are unworthy. Number one, they won't survive the judgment. They're not worthy to survive the judgment. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. You see, long term, we're looking ahead to a wonderful city, the city of New Jerusalem. And the wicked people will be unable to tolerate what's going on in this city. We have in our country a great divide between people who want the country to go to a certain way and other people who are resisting that and wanting to keep the country the way it has been. And neither side like each other very well. And if you're on this side, you think, how could I stand to live in a society that's like that? And if you're on that side, you say, how can I stand to live in a society that's like this? And neither side would like to live with the other side. And that's the way it's going to be. The people, the wicked, will be unable to tolerate the saints up in New Jerusalem. Now, the opposite outcomes of the two ways. The last verse of this chapter talks about the two different outcomes. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows it intimately. He's well acquainted with it. And he's superintending it. He's superintending the way of the righteous. Doesn't mean hard times won't come. Doesn't mean that he won't do some disciplining. But he knows your way and he will watch over your way, the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. And I have there a painting by a guy named John Martin of the destruction of the city of Sodom in Genesis chapter 19. Now, let me just give you some practical examples to help you maybe understand what's going on here. Let's, in the last 10 years or less, I have had the opportunity to spend many hours in a jail, sometimes in a jail in this county, sometimes in a jail in another county. But let's just, and I'm going to talk to you about real examples that I've come across. Nobody wants to be in jail. By the way, the two biggest reasons that I find people are in jail for are, number one, drug usage, and number two, being an illegal immigrant, or I should say an illegal alien. So I'm going to talk about one of each category. If you're in jail for using drugs, it's because you like to do that. And I've talked to people who, you know, they really don't want to come back to jail. And yet, when you probe into who they have friendships with, they have a friendship with a gal who's on the outside. Well, does she do drugs? Yeah. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me when you get out here, you don't want to do drugs. But you've got a friend who is using drugs now, and how's that going to help you? You see what I'm saying? If you allow people out there who aren't following God to influence you, you're not going to be happy in life. You're not going to be happy in life. There's another. A young woman I met, she's from another country. And she is in jail because she is an illegal alien. And she's rather bitter. I can see why she'd be bitter. She has 7 children. And she's going to be deported back to the country that she came from. She was married and her husband died. I'm not sure why, but he's dead. And now she's going to be deported. Well, she has two problems. Number one, she entered the country illegally. That's the way of the wicked. And you say, well, these people deserve a break. Well, I'm sorry. If you break a law and enter a country, you're going to have to face certain consequences. People who follow the way of righteousness don't illegally break into a country. And the second thing that she did that got her in trouble, this is really what got her into trouble, was that she likes to use marijuana. Well, you know, we have states that have laws that permit marijuana, but we have other states that don't. And if you're living in a state that doesn't permit marijuana and you get picked up for using marijuana, guess what? You're going to have problems. If they then find out you're an illegal alien, you really have problems. You're probably going to get shipped back home and so forth. So here is a woman who blamed God for letting this happen to her, and she's blaming our country. You see? Those are examples of people who allow others to outside them to influence. And they're letting people from the pool of wicked people and ungodly people influence their value systems, and they're not happy. So I'm here to tell you that the happiest person is the person who does not take advice from wicked people. He does not spend time in the pathway of sinners. He does not make himself comfortable sitting with scoffers, and he finds delight in reflecting on what the Bible teaches. Those are four pretty basic things about how to be happy in life. So now the choice is up to you. Which will you choose? Will you choose the way of the righteous, or will you choose the way of the wicked? One way will be happy, one way will perish, like the people in Sodom perished.